Thank you.
Father, you're so good, and we're just so grateful that we got to have a fun time with the piano and voice and hopefully positive, fun attitudes all within our hearts. And I pray that that's been a way to soften and prepare us for your word right now. Thank you that we can have even a short time of focusing on the revelation that you've chosen to give us in the place where we come in Ephesians today, right now, Lord Jesus. I pray that this will be a timely message and will touch each of us in a positive way. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. That goes back a couple weeks now, doesn't it? Paul's a prisoner, but he's not worried about being a prisoner of Rome or prisoner for whatever else, for whatever reason. He recognizes that he's a prisoner for the Lord, and he knows that it's been to the benefit of the people that are going to be able to read this letter that he's writing, because he's locked up, chained to a Roman soldier. Can't do a whole lot, but he wrote a few books of the Bible while he was there. How many of us, when we get down and we're feeling like, oh, the world's coming down crashing on us, like that big rock on the trail, are we done? Or is that like God's giving you a time out and a resting place so that you can do something different and just refocus and find out maybe there's a better purpose for that stage in your life than there was for a different stage? Most of us are reaching stages that we kind of would think, okay, physically, I'd still rather be back there. But mentally, I'm glad I am not back there. And wish I was even further. But here he's just saying, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. And he starts explaining some of what that means. Be completely humble. If we're worthy of the calling we've received, the calling to be the dwelling place of God, be completely humble. Recognize that He's God and you're not. And it's easy for all of us to admit that. If we were given a quiz, we'd get the right answer. Are you God? No. But then when we start acting like we are, we start doing a lot of His work. You like it when somebody else just, what if they walked into your house and they decided that they were going to be the one that took care of everything they needed done there? You might like it if somebody walked in and decided to cook you a meal, but you know, if you weren't sure who this person was or why they're there and why they think they can do a better job than you or whatever, it's like, okay. But then they start stepping into other areas. They start disciplining your children. Do we as Christians walk around trying to do the job of God? I don't know if anybody's accused me of it behind my back. I've never been told to my face, but I've been told about other pastors who people think they were trying to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives, and they're trying to be the one to bring conviction. And it doesn't have to be a pastor. We can all do that, right? It's like anybody walking up to a friend or relative and explaining to them what all their sins are and why they need to change. If I'm not humble enough to recognize that God's in charge of God's job and then I need to figure out what my job is and do that, then I'm not completely humble. And then gentle, and we looked at all the different ways, you know, last week that gentleness, it's like it's kind of important when you're in a conversation that you don't go into it with such an attitude that I sure hope that he's listening to me because he needs everything I'm about to tell him. And we're not listening back in the conversation to maybe I can learn something. And I'm going to tell you, as a teacher of special needs students, I oftentimes learned way more from them than they ever learned from me. And if you rub shoulders with people that are down and out and struggling with life, sometimes you can gain insight from them that they've received. Maybe not because they wanted to. They've been to the school of hard knocks and they learned some lessons and they're willing to share them with you, not always with the best attitudes even, but can we learn from them? If we're completely humble and completely gentle, we can get a lot more out of those things. It doesn't mean every single conversation with somebody's going to turn out well. It doesn't mean they're all going to end the way you'd like them to. But being completely humble, being completely gentle, that's part of living a life worthy of the calling that we've been given. And then today's message. Hope that you don't think I'm shouting at you with that right after I tell you about humble gentleness, right? And then it's like, whoo! I just wanted to make it big enough so you could see it, even if you didn't bring your spectacles or your reading glasses. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And like I said, I could easily go 4 hours on this topic if just pulling scripture in different places that the Bible expounds on what this means. Patience. Bearing with one another. There's a lot of one another passages. You know, Christianity is not something we do by ourselves. I've talked about that. It's you know, we're not gurus up on a hillside somewhere waiting for people to come up and get our grand knowledge. We're with one another. Working side by side. It was fun putting the ramp in with a couple guys that I know you better now than I did before we started that day. It's nice. You ever just work with family and friends and recognize that there's a benefit to going through a struggle together, even if it's not necessarily the most positive, wonderful, excellent thing, it's still a good thing. The whole with one another thing. And then in love, and you're going to find in love, that love, we could go clear through all the scripture and talk about love. I'm going to have to narrow down some of my thoughts, but I think better than just having my thoughts is let's have the thoughts of God. And if you'd like to turn in your Bibles too, I'm going to narrow it down to just this one section of scripture. Romans chapter 12, the portion of that, not the whole chapter. There's a depth in there too that we could spend months in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. So if you're looking in the pew Bibles, those nice green Bibles with large print, page 1732. Not quite as large a print as what's on the wall, but it's pretty good. Romans 12, 9. This in love thing. Love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. That's guidance. That's just an insight that Paul's sharing with the church in Rome as he writes to them. How many of us have seen somebody that is demonstrating insincere love? How many of us have ever demonstrated insincere love? And I think if we don't have complete humble gentleness, having sincere love is going to be a difficult thing. I know in the world today, the word love kind of gets twisted and bent, and oftentimes love is like, yeah, I really, really love you. Oh, you don't love me back? Fine, I'm gone. That's not love. Love must be sincere. And when somebody looks you in the eye and says, I never want to speak to you again, and I'm turning my back on you, and you're this and you're that, and they go through a litany of things, and they walk away, and you thought you were friends. How do you still love them? Does that change what we should do and who we are? It may change how things look. I just bring that up as a personal example of something that happened to me this week. So it's like, you know, most of you have probably had that happen to you at one time or another, where you get harsh words. And as I learn to be more Christ-like and I can be completely humble and gentle, it's like, okay, what part did I play in this? How can we continue to demonstrate Christ's love when somebody doesn't even want to talk to you? How do you demonstrate the love of Christ when a person has written off everything about Jesus and gone through a list of all the things in Scripture that are wrong and pin that on you and say, you can believe that if you want to, if you need that crutch, but I'm done with you and I'm done with your Jesus, and they walk away. That hurts. That shouldn't change how I feel about this person. Because God loved us. Even when we were sinners, even when we were at our worst, He loved us. His complete humility on the cross, His total gentleness, His patience, bearing with us. If you want to see sincere love, look to the cross. Paul continues in Romans 12, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. So yeah, there is good and there's evil. Now, if we're going to be completely humble and gentle and we hate what's evil, that doesn't mean we're going to be ranting and railing and bringing out the guns against the evil, unless that's what God's called you to, and in that, you know, we've got to know that that's Him. I'm not saying everybody in Scripture was always calm. In fact, Jesus Himself went into the temple and saw what was going on and saw how they were disrespecting His Father's house. And He sat down and He took some time, it says, to make a whip out of cords. And then He cleared that temple in love. I don't think anybody looking at Him at that very minute would have described Him as completely humble, completely gentle and patient. And yet He is. So we do need to know what's the line and make sure it's God's line and not our line. Because I think sometimes we fudge those lines quite a bit. My level of patience can disappear long before some people around me lose their patience. And then if we compare that to God, and it's like, okay, when we lose patience, then how do you lose patience with humble, gentle love? Finding that out. Cling to what is good. So Paul's recognizing there's evil, there's good, cling to the good, hate the evil, but he's still saying, your love must be sincere. Next thing, be devoted to one another in love. Is this a theme in Scripture? Maybe I told you I could find it a whole lot of different places. Just a couple verses here in Romans 12, and he's hit a lot of what is going on in Ephesians 4. Bearing with one another. Well, be devoted to one another. That's almost stronger than bearing with one another. I can see, yeah, I'm putting up with you. I'm bearing with you. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. That kind of brings you back to that gentle humility, doesn't it? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So it's not like, okay, you're milquetoast, you know. Some people think humility and meekness and all that is like we just won't do anything. But that word zeal kind of takes that away, doesn't it? It's you're pursuing goodness. You're rushing into what's right. And what kind of attitude should we have while we're doing this? Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. These are actions. So if we're bearing with one another, it's not a matter of, I'm going to get through this. It's, wow, I'm devoted to you. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to help your life be a better life. Not that we're forcing our will and things on others, but that we're going to be there for people. When they're ready to fall, we're going to catch them. When they're exhausted, we're going to stay with them. Had an example of that this week. Karen? She went up a pretty challenging trail, and an acquaintance, Liz, happened to meet her on the way up, and they stayed together. And stayed together all the way back down, too.
I'd still be on the trail if she hadn't.
and that's kind of being devoted to one another. It's like, okay, yeah, we're responsible to get one another through whatever we're going through. Is there anybody in this room that's not going through something right now? Remember, we talked about, you know, those that are spiritual can go and try to help those that are found in sin even. But do it, remember, with gentleness, because you don't want to fall into sin yourself. If things are going well, that's super, that's wonderful. Praise God for that. But don't let that get to the point where you get complacent. It's like, okay, God is really, really blessing me. How can I bless somebody else? Because I know He wouldn't pour all this on me if He didn't want me to share. So how do we do that? I'm looking around. I could probably pick out for each one of you something you're going through. You probably haven't shared your worst concerns with me. I asked if there's anybody here that's not struggling with something, and I didn't see any hands flying. Let me ask it again. Is there anybody here that's not struggling with something? Now look around. There's still no hands up. And that's part of life, isn't it? It's the struggle. It's a promise from Jesus. In this world you will have trouble. Okay, thank you. But as you look around now, do you see somebody in this room that you could help carry through the struggle? Funny thing about Liz that was walking down the trail with you, she feels like at times she's the one holding everybody back. I sure felt like that day. I was holding everyone back. We all go at kind of different paces, but when we're in a group, it's nice to be devoted to one another, bear with one another. Probably told this story, but Gordon Malm invited me to go to the top of Mount Baring with him. We didn't quite make it. He was very patient. Bearing with one another was mostly him bearing with me.
Is that Diana's husband?
Yeah. He's like a mountain goat. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, and by the time we're going down, he's carrying his pack and my pack, and I'm sliding on my rear and hoping that my pants don't wear out. It's a steep one. If you think that the ones we've been on, it's different. If you've not been up Mount Baring, find somebody that has done it before and go with them. I would recommend somebody that's patient. But, you know, it was one of those things that he stuck with me. And I know in his heart he really, really wanted to go to the top, because we got pretty close. We made it up to the boulder field. And I'm looking at and the clouds were there. We weren't going to get a view that day anyway. But it's like, I'm not going to make it. And he says, but it's just a little bit further. I said, Gordon, it's going to take me till after dark before we get back to the trailhead. No, it's a lot quicker going down. It wasn't. And both Kathy and Diana were out at the trailhead waiting for us when we got there, because no cell reception, and they were worried and ready to try to head up the trail. Diana knew the way. They would not have gotten far before you're climbing roots. So it worked out. I mean, God's good, but it's like, we need to do that with our daily struggles too. It's not just when we're climbing and hiking and walking, and it's, Mark, we're bearing with you. If you need something, grab a phone. If I can't be there, somebody in this congregation can be there. You know that. And same for the rest of you, because you're not all sharing what your struggles and trials and troubles are necessarily. And you don't have to share them with me. Bear each other's burdens. Just love one another. That's the whole message. Let's pray. Mm-hmm.